Fort Insight with Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Now. After I pointed to you.
I know. Welcome to Insight. Gorgeous Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Finally got through.
And gorgeous guest.
Yo, of course.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I have to segue into that, you know.
Sorry.
And the gorgeous guest that Neil referred to is Tony Lefevre from the Fort Recovery Public Library. Hello, Tony.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. It is always a pleasure to have you come and visit us. So, how much do you know about the library's history?
I know a little. I can't say that I'm an expert, but somewhat familiar with the early locations to where we are now. And
yeah. So, let's start with that, because I think a lot of people just remember the library where it is today.
Okay.
Do you happen to know when Fort Recovery had its first library?
Ooh. I should know this, but
approximately.
I think late 1800s, they started a reading room where, it's BU Boutique and Floral and Apparel is now.
Oh.
There was a reading room there.
Oh.
And then, I think it was fairly small, but just an opportunity for people to go and, mm-hmm. you know, take advantage of some resources there. Mm-hmm. And then I would say probably
one of those resources was light, because there weren't electric lights then, and you had to either gas or candles.
Yeah.
And if you had big windows and, you know, didn't happen to have those in your house, you could get there and sit down and
it was centrally located easy to get to.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Hit your horse right outside.
Perfect. Right there at the center of town.
Yeah.
And then they moved it to what's now the museum.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know exactly what year that was or approximately. Would you know that, Neil?
No, I wouldn't. I would guess, if I remember right, I think that building was built in 1930, 35,
okay.
somewhere in there. So I think it started off as museum and library.
Mm-hmm.
I know definitely when we got here in 1957, that was the library.
Yeah, the downstairs area was the library space.
And they also had some upstairs, I think. No, or was the museum upstairs? I don't remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. And you've worked for the library for how long?
It'll be 11 years in May.
Right out of high school.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank
That's
you
what
so
I
much.
Thought. That's what I thought. So in your 11 years, what's changed the most?
I think that the library has developed into, I'm going to almost say, somewhat of a community center. And I say that because we have so many things to offer in addition to the books and materials, you know, with internet and the computers, and we have card players that meet every week, and we try to offer community events, and we have, you know, people that come once or twice a week just to say hi and check out books. I think, especially since COVID, I think it's become more of a place to gather and meet and socialize.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of those activities
okay.
that you referred to. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price, Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The CIO Designs annual Brick Street Market is coming up on Saturday, April 29th from 10 to 2 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. This will be a hometown craft and food fair featuring local merchants, vendors, crafters, and food trucks. If you're looking for some unique gifts and decor, this is where you want to be. And if you're a vendor and would like to show off your business to the public, please contact them at theta.zeta.fortrecovery@gmail.com or contact Mindy Wendell at 419-733-2541. You don't want to miss this fun event, the CIO Desai's annual Brick Street Market, held right here in downtown Fort Recovery on Saturday, April 29th from 10 to 2. The Fort Recovery CIO Desai's community garage sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. There are going to be bargains galore everywhere in and around town, so get to as many of the sales as you can and grab some great treasures. Maps to the dozens of participating sales will be available in many of the businesses around town and also on their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Sci Iota's Eye. Again, Fort Recovery's community garage sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, all around Fort Recovery and the surrounding area.
You said you sold some stuff today.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I said. Well, I won't say what I said. But we sold a lot of stuff today.
Awesome.
For not officially opening until Thursday.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything I wish I had?
I don't know. Are you still into women's clothes?
No, not so much anymore.
Okay.
You can find all kinds of treasure.
Yeah.
Then right. I think you're safe.
We may need to get back on track.
Yes, we do. I don't want to know about Neil's wardrobe anymore.
Well, so, all I have to do is look in the Hawaiian shirt section.
That's right.
My kids love your Hawaiian shirts. We see one in, you know, when we're shopping, and they're like, Neil needs that one.
I've had people buy them for me.
Definitely memorable.
And one of the most memorable is really awesome. It had like a whole bunch of fish. Is like I believe it was Tony Grizzy and some of his buddies went to Florida for spring break or a senior trip or something, and they bought me a medium.
They really were.
That's one that hangs on the wall, right?
So that didn't work very well.
Yeah. So Tony, while we were off air, you got a few of the details on the dates. Let's go ahead and share those.
So I am not as knowledgeable as I thought I was, but I did find the information, and the original reading room that was started by the Business and Professional Women's Club in the Fort Recovery was started in 1928, so I was a little bit off on that. And then it moved to what's currently in the museum, 1938 to 1968. Then the Jetter family bought the current building that we're in and donated it as a library, and they moved into that, and it was dedicated June 30th of 1968, but just the main floor.
Okay.
And so then they renovated the upstairs, and that was not opened until 1983. But now we're in our current building and have been there and continue to make adjustments and improvements and enjoy being a community center.
Isn't it amazing? And, you know, we talked about your father-in-law, and we talked about, you know, other leaders in the community. You know, the fact that the Jetters, back in 1968 or whatever year that was, had the foresight and the resources to think, Fort Recovery is going to need a bigger, better library at some point. And, you know, what in the world would we do without it?
Right.
It's really cool. So, yeah,
and as a side note, Mrs. Jetter passed away recently, and the visitation is going to be Thursday, May 4th. Let's see, from 7 to 8:30, and then on Friday from 2 until 3 o'clock at the Nazarene Church. So that she's, you know, obviously she had a lot to do with what George did with his money. They were very much a pair.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at the business and took care of that, and she did all the other things behind the scenes that were just really important to him, the family, and of course the town
community. Our sympathies go out to their family. You know, it's neat to see the impact that these families have left on the community.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons we wanted to raise our kids here.
Yeah.
It's just, can't get it too many other places.
Yeah. So let's talk about you and how you ended up at the library.
So Greg and I got married in 2004, and I wanted to stay home with kids. So I really did stay home with them for several years. I spent 2 years working part-time at the high school teaching journalism classes. I did the yearbook and newspaper. And our third child came along, and I said, okay, I'm back to staying at home. And then an opportunity opened up at the library just to work 10 or 12 hours a week. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm very social. So I absolutely love being with my kids, but I just needed a little bit of time out of the house too. And so I started working as a page, which is someone who puts away books, helps organize things in the library 10 to 12 hours a week. And it was great because I got an opportunity to be social. My coworkers are fantastic. I learned a lot about the library, and it worked great with our schedule with the kids. I could still spend quite a bit of time there. And then as the years have continued, I've increased hours as it's worked for our family. And again, the library has just been super flexible with me and being able to adjust hours based on what works best for our family and still meets the needs of the library. But I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything right now.
Fantastic. So when you talk about your coworkers, so who's the boss up there?
Linda Niefeld is the library director. And I think she said she's been director for maybe 12 years. She took over for Kathy Fowler. She makes the day-to-day decisions, works with the board. We kind of all do all of the roles because we're a small staff, but she is directly the one in charge and does a great job. She's a great boss, a great coworker. Teresa West Curtis works. She and I both work about 20 to 25 hours a week. And then we have two high school pages that come in after school, and they may help with story times. They put away books. We have Olivia Smith and Mackenzie Kaffenberger, and they're great to work with, too.
Yeah.
They pretty much just say, what do you need me to do? And they do it, and they're friendly, and so we have great working experience.
Awesome. Wait, and you had talked about Linda kind of working with the board. Let's just touch on, okay, so our library has a board that kind of sets policy,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
Who's on that board?
So we have a library board made of 7 members, and what people don't know is that actually they make the decisions, but like sometimes hiring decisions, changes in the board, that kind of stuff all goes through our school board. So we're affiliated with the school, even though we're independent. So,
really? I don't think I had any idea about that.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Changes in personnel, things like that. they make most of the day-to-day decisions, but there are a few things that gets approved by the school board and then comes back. But Allison Holman is the board president. Matt Miner is the vice president. Jack Diller is the secretary. Rose Hart is our clerk treasurer. She takes care of all of our bills, and she works from home, but she does occasionally come into the library if we have a need. Eric Kaiser, Kim Niekamp, and Abby Schmitz are also board members.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's all stars.
Yeah. We have a
really
great
is.
Board.
Yeah.
They are super encouraging and supportive of anything we want to do, and they try to make anything that's possible happen at the library for us.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Jack, was Marcia on the board, or was she friends of the library, or both?
She was the clerk treasurer that Rose Hart's doing now. And I think there was somebody else that did it between them. And I think Marcia did that for probably 7 or 8 years. Maybe.
Yeah. Yep. She was fantastic to work with, too. But
I don't know. She's kind of mean.
You ought to be married to her. No.
That's what she said several times.
So we talked about the board. And, you know, so how is Fort Recovery Library? You know, I have heard that it's not part of the county library system.
Correct.
So can you explain that as far as how do we get funded versus Salina, Coldwater?
I'll try to explain it the best that I understand it. We have, it's called a PLF, Public Library Funding organization in the state. It goes through the auditor's office, maybe? I'm trying to think. I knew I would screw this up. But anyway, we are independent, so we get a portion of that public library fund that's set aside for the county. And they try to determine based on circulation, population, facility needs, things like that, what your appropriate library funding amount is.
And that's determined by the county commissioners?
The county, I want to say the county auditor.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's through the state, then the state decides how much each county gets, and then the county has to decide how that's distributed. Yeah.
Now, is there a formula for that, or are they just kind of...
There is now. I don't know what the exact formula is. For a long time,
I just didn't know if it was if you had a whole bunch of people from Salina, they would get most of the money and everybody else would not, or if it was all not Salina, then everybody else would get some and Salina might not.
So. Right. It is distributed, I think, fairly equally at this point in time based off of what those parameters are, and I couldn't tell you what they are, but I do know that they do a really good job.
Yeah.
But there is a written down formula of how it's kind of decided. Yeah. So it's not arbitrary.
Yeah.
You know, there are some facts that they base that off of. Mm. But so Rockford is independent. We are independent. And Coldwater is independent.
Okay.
And I can't say why those decisions were made except for the fact that, you know, we started out that way and we've been able to continue supplying our own funding without needing to be part of a main library. So then Salina is the main branch for the county library, the Mercer County District Library, and they have branches in Mendon, Chickasaw, and St. Henry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but some of the other libraries have levies, and we so far have been able to operate without asking the community for a levy, which we're going to do that as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Levies can kind of get messy and challenging, and we have a lot of generous people in the community that allow us to function without them.
And well, I remember maybe 20 years ago when Governor somebody doing the budget cut way back on, I think, all libraries around the state, and we couldn't be open on Thursdays because we didn't have the money. And people have kind of gotten used to that, and, you know, I think, and you guys have done so much with what probably little you get that it's just amazing, but you know the state kind of chopped everybody back a little bit, and I think we've kind of we and probably every other library has kind of clawed our way back into getting figured out ways to get things done that
we used to
get done.
I think with anything there's fluctuations, especially with public funding, you know, and we have advocates at the state. So we're part of the State Library of Ohio, and there are advocates there that work for public library funding.
So you have lobbyists.
Advocates.
Not very powerful.
You know, just people who are looking out for the interests of public libraries, who know what's going on, who can communicate that, and work with the directors across the state. And just try to
have connections.
Right. Allow us to have as many opportunities as we can to provide the community services that we do.
Well, and I would think when you look at the levy type thing, probably the number one thing that you have to be concerned about is from a facility standpoint. And, you know, as long as you have a roof over your head and it's not leaking and, it's pretty sound, then it's pretty stable anyways.
And we have We've had some generous donors that have, you know, granted estates, or the Friends of the Library is a huge part of that. The mm-hmm. Cooper Community Foundation, the Fort Recovery Community Foundation. You know, there's a lot of people in the area that are generous that, you know, we make a proposal or we apply for a grant, and we try not to nickel and dime everyone. We try to just request when there's a specific need and conserve our resources and do the best that we can. And everybody's always been so generous to help us out with whatever we need.
Yeah, and there are more individuals and businesses are willing to do that when they know that you are doing what you just said, that doing everything you can with as little as possible, because you know you're not going to have unlimited funds.
And I give a lot of credit to our board and to Linda, who work very hard to be conservative but still allow us to provide programs and opportunities that are beneficial to the community.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you know, part of the new programs, and we'll talk about this after break. I mean, there's a lot of those things that take a certain amount of resources, mm-hmm. you know. So let's take a break and come back and talk about what some of those special events, and some are on a regular basis now. So mm-hmm. we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. Story time at the library is a fun time for our little ones. Every Tuesday evening at 6:15 and every Friday morning at 10:30, our library invites you to bring your youngsters, ages 4 through 10, to the library for their very popular story time. Whether you go to one or both sessions, take your young kids to the Fort Recovery Library for story time Tuesday evening at 6:15 or Friday morning at 10:30 through the end of April. The Friends of the Library will be having a used book sale at the library this week. Here's your chance to get some great bargains on a nice selection of used books, audiobooks, and DVDs. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. Be sure to stop by and check out the bargains anytime this week at your library during their used book sale. Head up to your library to find some treasures all this week during normal library hours.
So we're back talking to Tony Lefevre from the Fort Recovery Library about kind of all things library, I guess. And we talked about the history of the library and the funding and how it gets funded. Now let's talk about some of the activities that mm-hmm. that we both have had and what might be coming up too.
Okay.
So let's, you know, about every week or every other week, I see some pictures of some kids getting read to. So you share what that's all about.
Yeah, we offer story times from October through April, twice a week. Tuesdays at 6:15 p.m. and Friday mornings at 10:30 a.m. That's meant for anywhere from babies through preschoolers. We take all ages. Yeah. If you wanted to come in and join us, you'd be welcome, because we do fun crafts too. And it's usually 30 to 45 minutes. So we offer a couple of books and a craft opportunity. One of the really cool things that we're able to do here in our community is we have some retired teachers and community members that volunteer their time and come in on Friday mornings and present the story times. And I think that's great for us to utilize those resources in our community, because we have teachers that are complete gems in our community. Yeah. And it's great for the kids. They get to experience different ideas and thoughts and crafts, and they really enjoy it. So,
well, and every teacher, every person that reads has a different style. Mm-hmm. And to hear a different voice is, you know, kind of neat. Yep. And it's a, you know, different experience for them.
I remember years ago, Coda Hull, okay, used to do that. And she was, you know, she is a tiny little woman and not a big, strong voice, but she was a great storyteller. She was just a neat lady. She was something else.
Yeah.
She was a little spitfire.
You know, in today's digital age, during COVID, we had an opportunity to do online story times, and we just decided that was not for us. Number one, you know, I think around here most parents are like, okay, we're already doing some schooling online and, you know, trying to get entertainment online. We don't want to do one more thing online.
Yeah.
So while we weren't able to offer that particular resource, we could kind of point them towards other educational things, mm-hmm, but we really enjoy the opportunity to have the kids come into the library,
yes,
and experience hands-on things. Sometimes we'll have scavenger hunts available, you know, periodically that they can do while they're there, mm-hmm, take-home crafts and stuff. So we try to make it so that there's as many interactive things that they can do and, while they're there, or take home with them.
And they get to interact with each other and right, other kids. And especially the younger ones that haven't been in school or preschool or yep, anything, it's a good kind of way to at least know that you have to cooperate with
right,
other people, and you might be the star at home, but you don't get to talk all the time
right
there. So
yep, it's a good learning experience.
And you've had the Mariners come in from time to time, the Salina Mariners,
yep,
ball players.
Yep, I'll get to that here when we talk about summer reading program.
Oh, yep.
But,
okay.
One thing I was going to say about the teachers that do the community story times is they are extremely great at corralling those kids,
yeah,
and yeah, kind of creating the opportunity for them to, you know, hey, I want to show you this book, this material, sit down in a line and we'll all do it, you know?
Yeah.
And they just have that experience and that gentleness and that opportunity. So in addition to story time, we also provide music time twice a year. So we'll do 6-week sessions of preschool and toddler music and movement time. And usually those are 30 minutes. And I get my little kid energy and sing songs with them. We do finger plays. We'll use scarves. We'll use, they're called rhythm sticks, but they're basically small dowel rods. Marching around the room, different kinds of things that kind mm-hmm of help them create movement, use fine motor skills, interact with each other, and those are a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
And there are special songs that sometimes they request year after year after year, and then, you know, you try to introduce them to some new things, but the whole goal is just to provide stimulation and energy and different experiences for them.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we've touched on the toddlers and the preschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything for the next level up?
Yeah. So we do occasional programs, especially during our summer reading program, we have things. But in the library itself, we now have an area upstairs with the reference and nonfiction materials where we have a green screen that they can use an iPad that the library has purchased to create stop motion animation videos and activities. Like, you know, if you watched the Lego movie a couple of years ago, that's stop motion animation. Yep. So they take those little creatures and they kind of move, or claymation. We're still learning some of that, but there are games up there. There's opportunities for them to do that. There's a mind bender puzzle every month. So just a place for them to go and build what they call them Kiva blocks, which are like just little small blocks that they can build fortresses or mazes or things with, and there's kind of a guided instruction booklet for them, but they have their own space up there that they can come to if they want to.
So So that's a summer.
No, that's there all the time now. We just added that probably a year and a half ago, and it's upstairs. And it is a special area upstairs that they can come. There's a couple of comfortable chairs, and they even have charging stations for their iPods or iPads. But there's, a green screen. There's a couple of games and different activities for that next level group that can come up and use that space when they want to.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So we have done a few, crafts, come in on, a Saturday morning for a specific older group. We have done a couple of series of those. We haven't done anything recently, but it is harder to get some of those kids because there's a lot of activities around here for them to do community-wide, too. So we don't want to take away from any of the other community activities. We just want to be able to provide an opportunity for ones that maybe aren't involved or when they have some time.
Yep, good. So we've touched on the younger ones. We've touched on the middle ones. So from an adult standpoint. Mm-hmm. What do you offer to the adults in the community?
Right now, we have two book clubs. One meets on a Monday night, the third Monday of the month, from we start in August through May. And it is open to anybody that wants to join or discuss a book. But I also offer the opportunity, if you want to just read what the book club is reading, I can order the book in for you. You don't have to come. So we have about 15 to 20 regular attendees that come and discuss books.
The downtown was parked full. They were finishing.
We just had it.
We came through there, and I thought, there's nobody's eating supper at Brick Street because they're not open on Monday evenings. What are they doing here?
There
must have been 15, 20 cars out there.
Yep, we had a good group. And then we have a daytime.
Is that mostly women, just women? I only saw women, but everybody's invited, right?
Everyone is invited. Yep. Right now, traditionally, we've only had women participants. But, we would not hesitate to welcome a gentleman in if he would like to. And we can cater to some different styles of reading if we would need to as well. Then there is a book club on Wednesday mornings, the first Wednesday of the month. And they read a different selection. So there are people that are involved in both book club groups, but they will go out to lunch after. So, they may meet for the book club discussion, and then they'll go to one of the local restaurants here in town and have lunch and visit and socialize. So the book clubs are sponsored by the Friends of the Library. If we ever have anything that we need to purchase, we can do that through the Friends. Currently, because we're part of the statewide consortium, we're able to access the number of copies that we need from borrowing from other libraries. We generally don't have expenses that we try not to ask patrons to pay for that, but we offer an opportunity for them to get the books without having a cost assessed. Then we also have card players, and we'll have some weeks there'll be four, some weeks there'll be 16 male and female members in the community that come up and play cards every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m.
Is that every week? Oh, I was thinking it was every other week.
It was at one point in time.
Oh.
It was, and they requested to have it more often.
Yeah.
So we open that up, and sometimes they're there for 3 hours, and they have a great time. They'll play euchre and pinochle and whatever they decide, depending on how many members that they have. And they've brought their own snacks in, and they've got quite the group that's
big time, big
consistent.
Time poker games too.
Well, I'm not sure about poker, and I don't think there's money exchanged. If there is, I probably don't want to know about
you
it.
You don't want to know.
But they have a good time, and that's open to anyone as well. But it's a great opportunity. Like I said, we're kind of a community center.
Yeah. Does the Mercer County Council on Aging, do they still bring?
They do not.
Once COVID hit, they stopped it and hadn't really brought it back.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of those wonderful opportunities that the Mercer County Council on Aging we worked with and provided meal plans because they wanted to reach out to people that are not in Salina as well, because the Council on Aging is located in Salina, but they wanted to provide an opportunity for those in the outlying areas to be able to benefit from those programs. But COVID hit, and then it became challenging to do the meals to bring in, and then I think they changed directors, and I think she's still getting her feet under her. So wonderful director. I know we worked with her in a different capacity before, but I just think it's probably not something that's going to start up anytime soon. But the patrons that have been playing cards, that played cards when the Council on Aging brought meals over, are still consistently coming to the library weekly.
Now, that's what started the card thing,
yes,
though,
it
right?
Was.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking that.
But
that,
they'll play cards all through the summer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they kind of communicate with each other if nobody's going to be there, but
yeah.
I think they all look forward to it.
That's cool.
That's great, mm-hmm. And it's great that they can have a place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they do that upstairs in one of the...
They do. Usually they're in the big community room that we have, but if we have a function going on for the youth or the used book sale or whatever, mm-hmm. they're extremely flexible. We have tables that we can move over to the other room, and
mm-hmm.
as long as we give them a table and chairs, they don't care where they're playing.
Yeah. Yep, have an elevator so people can get up there if they're older people, which probably most of the people that are doing it are retired or something like that.
But, yep.
And,
but I think they've built some great friendships, and we've gotten to know some of them, so it's been a lot of fun.
That's great.
Cool.
And
they
get to see all the stuff that's going on at the library besides just going in and there's rows of books. There's a whole lot more that the
library's
about.
We also have a puzzle exchange. So I know some of them.
Like the jigsaw puzzle thing?
Mm-hmm. A patron a couple of years ago enjoyed doing puzzles, mm-hmm. but wanted an opportunity to do something new without having to purchase a whole bunch of puzzles. So he said, if I brought in puzzles and other people brought them in, do you think we could just exchange them? So there's no library card required or anything. People have brought in puzzles, and you can take what you want, and if you don't bring them back, that's fine, because we have an abundance of them, but especially during the winter, we have people that take advantage of that, so some of those patrons can also utilize that
feature. That's awesome.
Feature. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So it's like, you look at what's next, right? I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about...
Ooh, get a teaser.
What's next.
Okay.
After we take this break. We'll be back.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Ever imagined yourself stranded on a deserted island? Now imagine the power goes out at your home. What next? Remember, this isn't Gilligan's Island, and the professor isn't going to save you. But Reasoner will. With a Generac automatic standby generator, you'll never miss a beat. Lights, heating, TV, cell phones, and computers. Everything you need will still be working. Mary Ann can still bake you a coconut pie. Find out more about Generac generators at Reasoner Energy in Coldwater. 419-678-4858.
Has your day been a little crazy? And now it's time for supper. Just remember, Wayne IGA has good, hot, ready-to-eat meals back in their deli, and their deli is now open until 8 p.m. every weeknight. Just stop in and pick out what you want. Chicken, tenderloins, chicken tenders, and by popular demand, now including their freshly breaded fish that you love during Lent. Grab some of their delicious side dishes, and you have a great meal for your family. And of course, they also have those great meals ready to go at lunchtime and all through the day. Easy in and easy out at Wayne IGA. Good food fast, and it's better than fast food. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, the boys will host Marion Local in an MAC game, and we'll have that game for you live on Fort Recovery Radio. Friday, it will be the girls hosting National Trail, and that game will be on Fort Recovery Radio. Saturday, the boys will play Lincoln View, last year's state runner-up, and that game will be played at Day Air Ballpark, the home of the Dayton Dragons, game time 3 p.m., and we'll broadcast that on Fort Recovery Radio. Lots of action this week, so get out to all the games you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Thank you, Neil.
Yes, thank you, Jeff.
We're back. Insight, talking to Tony Lefevre, the queen of the Fort Recovery Library. Is that the official title?
Well, probably not official, but I'll take it.
Okay.
I'm actually a library assistant.
Okay.
But
queen sounds more fitting.
Well, she'd be more of a princess if she's not the one in charge. She's an assistant.
I'm not sure my coworkers would give me any more credit.
So, you're the one that's willing to come talk.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we kind of jokingly say I'm kind of the mouthpiece, which I realize I'm a chatty person, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So we were talking about things that you currently offer, and we talked about the book clubs and playing cards. But I think if there's been one big change over the last 10 years, it's the Kindle type of a format.
Yep.
So how has the library kind of embraced that, or has it?
Yes, absolutely. We have what's called the Ohio Digital Library, which, again, we're part of the consortium. It's called Serving Every Ohioan Consortium in the state of Ohio, and we pay an annual fee to be part of that, which allows us to borrow books from other library bookshelves, some physical items. But it also gives us an opportunity to be part of the Ohio Digital Library, which is ebooks, audiobooks, and magazines for all ages. So there is an app called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, that people can download, and using your current physical library card, and we have a PIN number for you. If you can set that up to be your own personal four-digit, or we can set one up for you, four-digit passcode. With that app, you can download, I think right now you can have 20 books checked out at a time.
Oh my.
20 books or audiobooks. So the digital library works much like a physical library, where all of the libraries contribute money toward purchasing licenses for books. So just because a digital book is offered doesn't mean that it's always available, because it works like a physical library in that you purchase so many licenses for so many copies to be available. So if there's 20 copies and there's 30 people that want it, you go on a waiting list. So you can check out items for 7, 14, or 21 days on the app. And when your loan period is up, it automatically gets returned. It does ask you if you want to renew if you're not finished. However, it's not an immediate return to you if someone else is waiting on it. It just means that it'll store your spot. It'll go on to the next patron, and when it's ready, it'll come back to you on the digital. But it offers an opportunity to find books, magazines, and audiobooks outside of library hours to use on your phone or your Kindle or your iPad, any tablet device. And it gives you an opportunity to have access to maybe like some magazines and different things that you may not have access to, especially outside of library hours.
Yeah.
Or if you're traveling. So you can download those items onto your phone. I download audiobooks a lot. And then it's not using up my streaming or my data, but I can listen to it in my car. I can listen to it when I'm cleaning or doing things, activities at home. There's my kids listen to audiobooks at night. So it's really a great feature for people to use to still encourage reading and literacy without maybe having the physical book.
So you like the whole audiobook thing?
I do. And I did not used to, but the older my kids get and the busier I am, I love to read, and I don't have as much time to sit down and read.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy listening to an audiobook. However, I will say the narrator can make or break a book.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me about, I think it was Matthew McConaughey, mm-hmm. who wrote a book, mm-hmm. and he
narrated his own. Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how effective it was, because mm-hmm. His voice is such, and with his training, I'm sure, I mean, it just made him a natural,
yep.
I think.
Sometimes, it depends on the publisher. I think the author may have some discretion in choosing some of those things, but sometimes the authors make the best narrators, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
I just listened to a James Patterson book called Run, Rose, Run that he co-wrote with Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton was one of the cast members that read the audiobook. So that was kind of fun,
yeah.
Because you heard her voice, and they had a cast of like 5 or 6 people. Sometimes it's one person reading the whole book.
Yeah.
Occasionally they'll have like a cast so that they can have different voices and stuff. But, it just depends on the author and the publisher, but it's interesting. Now, when I get less busy, which I don't know if that'll ever happen, I do prefer to have the book.
Yeah. So as you look into your crystal ball into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. what, you know, I mean, when it comes to the technology and the offerings for the toddlers, and, you know, when, like, you look back 15 years mm-hmm. and what you guys have been able to add, what's next 15 going to bring?
I don't, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth. I don't think that libraries are going to become obsolete. I think with the introduction of digital materials and hotspots and things like that, people are concerned that a library is no longer going to be relevant. My thought is, especially in communities like ours where there's not a community center, it's still needed. It's still relevant. And there's still a lot of people who prefer to have the social interaction plus the books and materials that we can offer. Now, we have gone to offering a lot of alternative materials as far as hotspots, which are mobile internet services that we, through the library, pay a subscription fee for, and patrons can check those out for 2 weeks at a time. So basically what it is it's a traveling Wi-Fi router, for lack of a better word, that you can connect up to 10 different devices on. And as long as you've got a cell phone tower, it doesn't cost patrons anything. They can use it to run iPads, phones, laptops, things like that when they don't have internet service. So families, especially this summer, will use it when they're traveling with their kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it works great for entertaining the kids, you know, while you're on long road trips or whatever. It doesn't work internationally, and sometimes in the mountains it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But those are really popular items, or families will use them camping just to stay connected.
So so the library has how many of those?
We have 19.
No kidding.
Yeah, 19 of those. And this summer there will not be one on the shelf.
Yeah.
So we offer them for 2 weeks at a time. And then
For free?
For free.
No kidding.
Right. Now, there is, you know, obviously with anything, if there are losses or damages, there are fees associated. But we so far have been fortunate enough that in our area, we haven't had to worry about that. Now, I think some of the bigger libraries do have some difficulty with it, but we have such great patrons here. But yeah, it's free for patrons. They can have it for 2 weeks. And then we, as a courtesy, ask them to wait 2 weeks before requesting one again.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people that enjoy having them. We don't want to deny anybody.
Especially in the summer.
Right. There's a chance you may not get it, depending on when your vacation is, because we can't control when it's returned or who's using it. But, you know, you can place a hold on them, and it encourages, you know, hopefully your chances of getting it are greater. But that is something that we've been able to offer. We also have, they're called STEAM kits, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And they were purchased with some COVID funds. So they are prepackaged bags that have activities that may be literacy, coding, math, phonics, vehicles, animals, emotions, and they can be checked out for 2 weeks at a time. So they have maybe a book and one or two activities with them that patrons can take home with them, and everything is encased in that package. They play with the toy, they use it, and then they bring it back. So those are some things that people can use that are, I think, different, especially since COVID. We have books that are actually called audio-enabled books. So they have a recording device connected to the front of the book. And while you have the book, you can turn the pages and you can listen to it at the same time. So it's all one unit.
Yeah.
You can use headphones. You don't have to. We also have little preloaded tablets with games, activities, and those are usually geared around some specific subject area or thought. We have ages 3 to 5. 5 to 7, 8 to 10, and 10 and above, and they don't require internet. They're just preloaded games and activities that people can take on them, you know, on vacation with them. They don't have to have internet, but most of them are educational, that kind of thing. So those are some alternative activities that we have available for patrons to use outside of the library, but they have access to.
Fantastic. So.
The library isn't just a library full of books anymore.
Nope.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's lots of different opportunity.
Which leads me to my next question.
Okay.
Compared to when you started,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there's less physical books than there used to be. True?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
No. We have the funding that we're able to, I think... Let me back up. Less DVDs, less music CDs. But I think physical items, especially with the additions of the tablets, the steam kits, the hotspots, and the books and magazines that we can still circulate, I don't know that there's a huge change in physical materials. Really? And I think a lot of them get utilized. I think what materials we have available have changed,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it has transitioned.
Yeah.
From a technology
standpoint, mm-hmm. It would change.
I have a question that you probably won't know the answer off the top of your head, but so you're having a book sale this week.
Mm-hmm.
You always do that with the garage sales.
Mm-hmm.
Always pretty neat stuff. Does most or all of that come from the library? Or is most of it donated?
It's a variety.
Okay. And the second question, second part of the question is, how many books a year do you buy?
Ooh, I don't have the answer to that one.
Okay. But it's not a dozen.
No, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We have opportunities to have, like, especially through the Friends of the Library, part of mm-hmm. the Friends of the Library that was organized in 2004, which is a great organization and greatly supports our library in yeah. making programs available. Part of that organization says this is how much money or percentage that you'll spend on books each year.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to our public library funding, we also have some additional funds that are set aside specifically for ordering materials and books. Mm-hmm. The library materials that we put in the used book sale, we don't do lightly. And that's one thing that I think it's hard for us, and hopefully it's not hard for the community, but we have limited shelf space.
Yes.
So as we're introducing materials, we have to make sure there's room on the shelves. It is not an easy process to go through and do what we call weeding, to take items off the shelf that we still right. think are relevant or that people may want.
Yeah.
And every library has to do it. It doesn't yeah. matter big or small, because there is a limited amount of space. The advantage that we have is that we're part of the consortium, so you can still request materials in, and we get materials from other libraries three mm-hmm. times a week. You just may have to wait for it, but then we can continue to offer new materials on the shelves for our immediate patrons.
Mm-hmm. So how do you decide who decides what books you're going to get? Is there like a suggested list, or do the people here have to kind of go out and research what's available,
you know,
and make decisions?
When the Friends of the Library does their membership drive, there are donation levels that patrons, if they meet that donation level of $100 or more, they can make a suggestion of books that we purchase.
Mm-hmm.
We also take into consideration what libraries patrons come in and say, mm-hmm. we'd like to see this on your shelf. Or if we see kids coming in from the school, our school library has this, but I can't get it. You know, we'll take those into consideration and try to purchase some of those things mm-hmm. that we think will circulate well. Linda makes those decisions based off of what we believe will circulate in our area, and based off of suggestions, what's relevant, what we have the funding for. We do have some standing orders for certain titles, like we have a standing order for large print, and they'll mm-hmm. just send us certain large print every month,
mm-hmm.
a certain number from a certain genre, whatever. But we do try to pick, like, popular authors that have books that mm-hmm. come out. So that
sounds like a lot of work to try to figure all that out.
It is probably not an easy job, and I'm glad Linda does it.
is that restocking, we'll mm-hmm. call it, is that a semi-annual thing? Is that an ongoing process?
Ongoing. We have weekly books that are added to the system.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like I said before, we all kind of carry, have multiple hats. So we'll do what we call cataloging. A new book comes in, we'll add it to the system and catalog it for our library. We'll put them on the shelf, we'll check them, we help Linda decide if something is no longer in great shape to have it on the shelf. You know, we kind of work yeah. with each other to help. And you want to try to keep the materials that are relevant to our area. Yeah, we could send, you know, maybe a library across the state would request those materials, but we really want it to benefit our direct population as much yeah. as possible. So we try to keep a variety of all kinds of genres and interest levels in while being relevant to what our community would benefit from.
Okay, Neil asked you a question that you couldn't answer, so now it's my turn.
Oh, please.
Okay. What's the oldest book we have up there?
Ooh, we have some historical books from I think I just looked at a book of the history of Mercer County from the late 1800s. And it probably was printed early 1900s, 1905. Yeah. There may be some older ones there, but if there are, they don't circulate. Yeah. And that particular book I just used because we had someone call our library to ask us to look up some of the earlier residents. That particular book is in library use only. Yep. But I couldn't. I should know more, shouldn't I?
Oh, no.
No.
And then
you know plenty. You can't know everything about that. Cause it's like, when I asked that question, I was assuming that it's just a number you don't really sit there and think about. Well, we can buy a dozen every month. It's just what you have funds for and what you can
that is one of
what's
the,
available and what might be needed.
That is one of the specific roles that Linda does have as director. She's got some roles that, you know, we can't fill.
Yeah.
And she does a terrific job of making sure that we have the materials in that are relevant and current and continue to hopefully engage our patrons. And
fantastic. Well, yeah. I tell you what, we're going to take one more break and we're going to come back and kind of wrap things up. And then I'm going to ask you about if somebody wants to donate something, how do they do that or what are you looking for? So we'll be back right after this.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
This year's promenade will take place Friday, April 28th at 6 p.m. at the Fortsite Fieldhouse, and the doors will open at 5:15. As always, the public is invited to the promenade, and this year you will enter through the Commons area. This year's King candidates are Vian Wing, Landon Post, Daniel Patch, Ethan Evers, and Jacob Hartke. This year's Queen candidates are Nung Do, Lydia Brunswick, Taylor Will, Elena Will, and Faith Wendell. The public is invited to stop by the Fortsite Fieldhouse on Friday evening, April 28th at 6 o'clock for the promenade. Doors open at 5:15. Please enter through the Commons area. The Village of Fort Recovery is having its annual spring cleanup day for our village residents on Saturday, April 29th. They start picking up items very early that day, so please have your items at the curb by 5 a.m. You'll need to have your small items bundled or boxed, and you can't have items longer than 6 feet long. They cannot pick up tree limbs or yard waste, wet paint cans, tires, railroad ties, bricks, rocks, or concrete items of any kind. Appliances and other metal items will be picked up. All mattress and sofa items will require a tag that can be purchased ahead of time at the village office and will not be picked up without a tag. Get your pickup items ready. Spring cleanup day for the village residents will be on Saturday, April 29th, and you will need to have your items at the curb by 5 a.m.
So have your items at the curb by 5 a.m. for the spring cleanup day.
Oh.
And now the spring cleanup day has always been right around this time of the year. They were trying to get the spring cleanup days set for after the garage sales in June, but they couldn't get that arranged with Mahargs. So now they have moved the garage sales so that if there's stuff that doesn't get sold in the garage sales, they don't have to take it back in the house and wait till next year. They can put it out at the curb, and scavengers can get it, or Mahargs can
good planning.
Can pick it up and or recycle it. And so that's why things are, the schedule is how it is.
Which has nothing to do with the library, Tony.
No, but it does have something to do with what we just heard.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of the library, mm-hmm. You've talked a couple of different times about the importance of the Friends of the Library mm-hmm. and the various donations over the years. So if somebody wanted to donate money, or they wanted, or you know, let's say that they've got an iPad at home that they're not using anymore, mm-hmm. or you know, they've got these things. So, you know, how can you donate to the library? And then from a thing standpoint, what mm-hmm. what types of things would the library be looking for?
So I think one of the easiest ways to donate is becoming a Friends of the Library member, because that money goes through the organization and is utilized toward purchasing materials, sponsoring programs, things like that that benefit the whole library. And that membership drive is in April every year. You can also come in, and we do have families that, you know, lose a loved one or want to honor someone in their family, yeah. and they ask, you know, here's some money. Could you please purchase a book that is relevant to this topic or this subject, or children's books or something like that? And we put book plates in them to memorialize the donation in honor or in memory of those people. Traditionally, we ask that you ask us to purchase them, because we have opportunities to purchase durable books that are, they're called library binding, so that they can withstand the circulation. So it's just a little bit easier for us to take the donation and do the purchasing on our end. If people wanted to donate materials, it kind of depends on what the items are. We do take donations for used books and movies. If there's something that we believe would circulate, we'll add it to our circulation shelf. If not, then we generally put it in our used book sale, which all of that funding goes back toward the library for materials, craft supplies, programs, funding, things like that.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you have another special event coming up that I think we want to make sure that we talk about. Why don't you go ahead and share that?
Yeah, so the sorority is putting on the second annual Brook Street Market on April 29th, which I think will be a neat event. Yeah. Last year, I believe they got some snow, so we're keeping our fingers crossed and saying some prayers for some gorgeous weather.
We're going to have very nice weather for that.
Good. So the library is providing an opportunity for some entertainment for the kids while they're up there. The Friends of the Library has sponsored a puppet show, and it is short programs that will be offered between 10 and 12 at the library. If the weather is inclement, we're hoping to move it outdoors to maybe Krenning Park if the weather is appropriate. It won't take away from the Brick Street Market. We're hoping it will enhance it, that as people are in town, it will provide an opportunity for entertainment for their kids. That just fun little, he kind of described it as street fair performances. So a little puppet show that will be available to the community members on that morning from 10 to 12 during the Brook Street Market.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that we've missed?
I just want to highlight that our summer reading program is coming up that we do, and we provide incentives and prizes for all ages to participate in our summer reading program. It's June 5th through July 19th. We'll have some similar programs that we've had in the past. The Grand Lake Mariners that Neil mentioned earlier, we don't have them officially on the schedule, but I've spoken with the manager, and they're very interested in coming. That's always popular because the kids get to meet half a dozen of the team members, and they read to them. And sometimes the team members will stick around and do crafts, which the kids think is fun, too. We have some teachers from the school that are coming in to do programs. We have the Touch a Truck event, which is not currently scheduled because the first night I had it scheduled, there's a baseball game down there, and I think it might be a little too complicated, so I need to adjust the time. The Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum is coming. I'm trying to think of some other programs, but we'll have lots of program offerings, story times, music times, craft, indoor and outdoor games, things like that available through the summer, and that schedule will come out in late May. But we also offer drawings for all participants of all ages, for the elementary school kids for prizes, middle school kids. Generally, it's like Kings Island tickets and one or two other possibilities that they can put their name in for. And then the adult prizes, we also have some gift certificates and tickets to local attractions that we give away. So that is sponsored a lot by Psi Iota Xi Sorority. Annually, they give us money to help put on that program, and the Friends of the Library, so that we can offer a lot of opportunities for people to be involved and be active this summer.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Tony, I'll tell you what, you never fail to be a fountain of information whenever you pop up here. But I'm going to now present you with your greatest challenge ever.
Okay.
Rocker's not here tonight.
Oh, no.
Yep. So in place of that, we're going to come up with a top 10 list.
Oh.
And, you know, I want to do a shout out. Okay.
Okay.
You know, I think you may have seen where Miss Robin Armstrong is retiring.
Oh, yes.
From Fort Recovery School.
She will be missed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So between those that are in the room,
mm-hmm.
I want to come up with, and it's going to be cross-generational, okay, favorite teachers. And we're just going to go in a circle and name your the teacher that was your favorite or had the greatest influence on you.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Want me to go first, and then that give you a chance to think?
Sure, yeah.
Ernie Williams.
Ernie Williams. That is good.
Every person in that era either loved him or hated him. My sister didn't care for him at all. She didn't think he taught very well. He was absolutely my favorite teacher, and almost everybody in the school that ever had him, because he was just one of those neat guys that was just, he was just always cool.
When I was in third grade, I had a fantastic teacher, and her name was Nancy Konapke.
Oh.
And she wasn't even done with college yet. And there was a teacher shortage, and they allowed them to teach before they were even licensed yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Nancy was my favorite. Fee, do you have somebody?
Probably Mike Shum.
Mike Shum.
Spanky?
Yeah.
Yep.
Spanky Shum. Yep. I don't know what he's like as a teacher, but he's a great person.
He was a great teacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony?
Oh, I'd have to say there's two. I don't know if I can narrow it down. Mrs. Armstrong was one of them. And I think it was just she was so encouraging and supportive. And Angelica Shadehine was another one. I took German class with her, and she was my newspaper supervisor when I was editor. And I still remain friends with both of those to this day. And I respect and admire them and their mentorship. And I feel pretty blessed to have had both of them.
It is pretty cool when you're in a position that you can influence a young person for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's got to be a great responsibility, yes. But I think we have a great team of teachers and administrators here in our community, and we can't take that for granted.
Yeah. We've done a great job of hiring great people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in this area, we get so many great people applying because people have lived around here. Most of them are at least from around this area, and so they know that somebody else helped them, and they want to help other people, and that's a big deal.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
And I'm sure teaching is one of those things that has changed quite a bit in the last
5 years
especially, but 10, 15 years. You know, it's changed, especially with the digital technology and the influences that the kids have. It can't be easy.
Yep. And we have a couple of Citizen of the Year for the week.
Okay.
I have to do a shout out to Miss Marcia Smits, who's got a birthday today.
Yep. Oh. Happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Marcia.
And who else?
Well, you're the one that said there was two.
There was two.
Well, my sister-in-law Lisa probably won't appreciate it, but her birthday's today, so happy birthday, Lisa.
Awesome.
Perfect.
So was it somebody, one of your Facebook?
I don't remember.
Birthday? Was it a birthday person or just some?
My mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
75. My mother-in-law turned 75.
Oh, that is right.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Yep. Cheryl Koppelman.
Yep, and we were talking about that, I think, last night. Yeah. And in my head, I know how old she is, but she doesn't look anything like she's 55. Yeah. She looks like she's 50. And she acts like she's 50. She's
got a lot of
just,
energy. Yeah.
She's just one of those people that just is kind of ageless and just happy, nice all the time.
Yep.
So, for the ageless four of us.
Your son?
Who? Your son?
He has a birthday?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. I wished him happy birthday yesterday.
Well, happy birthday, Jordan.
He's 35.
That's not possible.
Can you imagine somebody as young as me having a kid that's 35?
Yeah, and he's probably your youngest, right?
He's the baby. I know. So, happy birthday, Jordan. Happy birthday, Marcia, Cheryl. For Tony, Neil, stay tuned for Sports Talk right after this. Tony, you were awesome.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And we will be back next week on Insight.
Yep.
See ya.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.